Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional freedom without fear or favor. So, you know, we don't do corruption here. Good morning and thank you for tuning in this wonderful Sunday morning. And you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of one, just bringing you one political, psychological, social, whatever, you know, topic that I'm able to put my hands on and eyes on to bring you every Sunday. Just, you know, it's more sarcasm than seriousness. So just don't take any of it to heart. So let's start talking about money. We have recently, especially those of us that are in the commerce region in Windhoek, we have been provided with a possible financial solution to our overspending. And, if you are new and you're trying to figure out what you're listening to, when Penny said the program Ayara Ndurako, she was talking about me. Thanks, Penny. Now, here's the thing. We have recently been given genius Rothschild level financial management advice here in the capital. And that is, okay, how about you just, you sit across the table from your boss, sit across the table from your boss and say, I have developed a spending tendency of, that makes it look like, I'm rich. So at this point, it's either I have to dial down my spending or I have to be rich because my spending habit is not going hand in hand with my source of income. So the advice we're given is, how about you just, tell your boss to split your salary in half so that you get paid twice a month instead of once? Yeah. Well, I mean, it could work, but just hear me out. I'm throwing in the but because I think the problem here goes beyond money. I'll give you an example of myself because I don't have bodyguards. You know how people say that, he wasn't like that when he didn't have a job. Money have changed him. That job or, Windhoek have changed. Here's one thing we don't want to admit. Money changes each and every single one of us every single month end. We are not the same people month end. First of all, we are annoying. We drive like maniacs. We don't pick up our calls. It's just me. Anyway, so the thing is, every month end, we are different people. And every middle of the month, we are completely different people. So money changes us every month. Every month end, I lose appetite for the food in my kitchen. I just want to eat out. Get steak, my favorite Italian food, my favorite Chinese or Thai. I only have appetite for these different types of cuisines every month end. Now, mind you, I don't even chill. So I can only imagine how much money changes those of you that chill. I imagine you wanna drink, y'all drink, Ombike and Tombo and all that in the middle of the month, but come month end, Johnny Walker Blue, neat. What are you going through? Johnny Walker Blue, neat. Must be going through a divorce. Now, I'm saying that because my point of view on alcohol is beer for recreation, champagne for celebration, hot stuff for divorce. That's how I have divided alcohol. If you are just chilling and talking stories, beer, excellent idea. What about wine? wine and champagne, put them in the same, same bucket. They are more often better for, okay, they are more, they go with the vibe of parties and celebration type of things. You are trading, for example, and you lose millions of dollars in stock. You think that's a problem you can solve with wine? No. No. If anything, you need to call the village. Because if you lose millions of dollars, well, then let's face it, you're broke at this point. You can't afford those, fancy, alcoholic beverages with French and Italian or Portuguese or Latin names. So, but there's a, guys, this one thing that I like to point out every now and then. Traditional things got us covered. Nutritional wise, traditional food, check. That time of the month when you are too broke and you are going through crap in your life and you are one of those people that are very stubborn. That, I could just kill myself, but nope. There's still a lot of there are a lot of things to live for. Therefore, I would rather get drunk than even think about that. So, but I'm too broke. What can I do? I wonder. I mean, only if there was a budget option to get drunk. At this point, Kachipembe or Mbike is looking at you and going like, "Don't worry, I got you covered. Two shots, and sleep the whole week. Just don't get fired." And definitely not talking from experience. Now, so three main categories of alcohol. Wine and champagne for celebration. I think graduation, birthday, and weddings and all that. Wine, champagne. But if you are talking about, just chilling, having a good time with homies, I would recommend beer, that one, on that band. If you are going through, let's say, the loss of a loved one, that is through death or breakup or divorce, whichever. Bottom line is, this is where Mbike comes in handy. That's, but if you can afford the Dom Perignon. Like, why does everything have to be Perignon? But, if you can afford that, then go for it. But if you want the budget option, don't worry. Traditional alcoholic beverages got you behind. We have a break coming up. Stay tuned.
Dreaming of a better future abroad? Namdeen's Investment CC can help make it happen. Whether you're a teacher, caregiver, nurse, doctor, IT professional, driver, construction worker, graduate, or looking for work, we provide trusted visa facilitation and consultancy services for visitor visas, high-paying jobs abroad, international study opportunities, scholarships, and recognized qualifications. For more information, contact +264 81 376 0041 or WhatsApp +264 81 806-2044. Today, Namdeen's Investment CC, opening doors to global opportunities.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ash, I don't have money, man. It's the middle of the month and we are still talking about whether or not we are going to negotiate with our employers to split our salaries in half so we can get paid twice a month instead of once, so we don't overspend. Now, I would argue this problem can be divided into two sub-problems. Sub-problem number one, the cost of living is going through the roof. Sub-problem number two, our spending habits cannot be ignored on this one. You have Helmut, who is broke as heck, but want to live Jay-Z lifestyle. You see, now you see the problem. Here's the problem. So that means, yes, you can negotiate with your employers and split the salary in half, but you will only solve one sub-problem of the major spending issue. You're going to be left with one sub-problem, and that is your spending habits. So until you can come up with a solution to both sub-problems of our spending issues, then I don't think we're gonna solve as much problems as we think we are gonna solve with the splitting the salaries in half so we can get paid twice a month. Again, not a financial expert, just someone that likes to make fun of people and things, and terribly chilling because, well, after you make fun of people, you may want to hide. Definitely talking from experience on that one. So, our awesome counselor have provided us with an excellent solution to one part of that problem. And that is, how about splitting the salary in half? That addresses the small salary question. But the high spending habit, that solution does not cover it. No, at least not entirely. So, now, this is where I now decided, out of patriotism for my country, I decided to use my genius brain, no go kill me. So I decided to employ it out of sheer patriotism for the land of the brave. Now, counselor says split the salary in half. Pay people twice a month so they don't overspend. I would argue you have just solved half of the overspending problem. The other half, that's where Eagle FM helm now comes in, handy. Now, the other part is the spending problem. So, the spending problem is one that we also have to address. Now, this is the part where I would be saying, okay, you know what, we need more financial education, except the Ministry of Finance have settled that problem. Financial education, we have that part covered in this country. We are financially smart. Translation, we know what to buy to save money and what to buy to waste money. We know that. But knowing something and practicing it are two different things. In the very same way that we run around every Sunday saying 10 commandments, and then Monday to Friday, oh boy, do we wreck the very same commandments that we yip around every Saturday and Sunday. We just wreck it left, right, and center. Like, Wreck It Ralph. Have you seen the movie? So, we have been provided by our wonderful counsel. I mean, I'll give her credit. That was a genius idea. But just solves one problem. So we can't blame financial literacy on this one. Why? Again, the Ministry of Finance have settled that debate. We are financially smart in theory, not in practice. Our theory on financial literacy is top notch. Our practice, thereby financial theory, is ash. Ay, 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 ay. In other words, what that basically means is even when we are going out shopping, we know when we are wasting money. We don't have to be told. We know. In fact, we don't want to be told that we are wasting money. That's when you start saying things like, well, you know, you only live once. And we all have that one sentence or more like a paragraph that we use to justify every stupid decision we make. And we only live once is one of those, when you hear someone saying, hey, well, you only live once. You don't know when you're gonna die. Just enjoy it. Live in the moment. They're about to make a damn decision. You need some justification to make a stupid decision. It's very human. Very human. And this is not just you, by the way. You are not broken. You are just human. Think, Donald Trump, for example. Donald Trump right now is dealing with a problem that would not have existed if he hadn't started the war. Actually, I would argue that, he was Epstein filed into the war, but that's a whole different story. So now we are dealing with a strait that keeps getting closed and open, and we want it to stay constantly open. And to do that, we have to bomb the crap out of Iran. Actually, the Americans are just doing that. Now, the strait that was perfectly open before the bombing started. So the problem here is not Iran, is it? Those who came up with democracy did not, left out one important part, which is, of course, when you end up with a tyrannical leader, you can just vote them out. But what they left out, and also, you know, well, have separation of power so that not all, so that power is not concentrated in under one person or under one department or one ministry and all that. They left out one thing. What's the solution to? Let's say you have a sneaky suspicion that your leader is making decisions that are so stupid, there's only one way to explain why he's making decisions like that. He's behind being blackmailed to from here to the moon and back. So, what's the democratic solution to a problem like that? That's an American problem. Our problem here is we're spending a heck of a lot of money we don't have. If anything, we should be financially smart. Now, according to our Ministry of Finance, we are financially smart, in theory. Now, being financially smart in theory and being financially smart in practice are two different things. Now, you take that in, you take high cost of living, financial, practical stupidity, and you combine that with, black tax, and you have financial, Chernobyl on your hands. Now, that is us. How do you solve the problem? Seriously, I'm just, I don't have a solution. But I have a song. Actually, two songs that all talk about money. The theme song, and then the next one is the one that speaks to the, okay, first, let's play the money theme song of Mind the Gap. And then on the other side of that, money theme song of Mind the Gap, then we play the money theme song of today's Mind the Gap. Two money theme songs. That's how broke I am. Oh boy. Mind the Gap with Helmut. Speaking of which, Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
I wake up this morning, I check the pot. Yesterday food finish. Today pot day hot with nothing. Water they boil inside empty pots. Steam they come out.
For police officers and teachers, stay out of this. Y'all got paid.
I close the lid. Pretend say something they...
Unless you're already broke. Which is... Hey! Ay, 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 ay. It's just been 6 days, bro.
Cook. I count my coins since morning. In no rich transport. I trek 3 miles to work under sun, no escort. My shoe they open mouth, the soul don't separate. I use rubber band hold them, so he no go vibrate. I reach work, my hunger ask why I dey sweat. I say na exercise, hunger they make me forget. Lunchtime everybody job, I drink water, fill my chest. I tell them I already ate. God forgive me for that jest. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay back, oh Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, oh the devil responsible. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Overdue. Teacher put my child out of class, what I go do? I beg the teacher, give me one more week. She done hear that one before, she don't even speak. Night time, I kneel down, whole family they sleep. I cry to God, quiet, the kind of cry that is deep. My wife ask what we go cook, I say God go provide. She look at me, she look at pot, nothing there inside. Papa God borrow me 5 billion, hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion, hunger go kill me.
Nothing to show, something no they right. My neighbor they cook, the smell enter my room. I swallow saliva, I pretend say I fool. Boom, I
know they give up, but Lord hear my cry. Because hunger no supposed be the reason I die. Just borrow me small, I go walk out to pay. And if I feel lost, now devil lead me astray. Papa God borrow me 5 billion.
Hunger go kill me.
Papa God borrow me 10 billion.
Hunger go kill me.
Now that is the Mind the Gap comedy show on Eagle FM theme song. Coming up next is Mind the Gap. Today's, particularly today's Mind the Gap. Which goes with the, topic. Money is not a problem. The problem is how to use it. You can split it in two to get paid twice a month. The problem is how to use it. Commercial break.
This winter, Washamba Mall is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washamba Mall and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washamba Mall in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall. And stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washamba Mall. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So we continue with money is not a problem. The problem is how to use it. Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. Thank you for tuning in and stay tuned. Now, I think at this point we all know my Afrikaans is almost non-existent, but I know what Jay's Door means, which is why I picked that song. That's the only part. Actually, there are two parts that made me pick that song. It's the Jay's Door part. I don't know the rest of what she's saying, but the Jay's Door part, I feel attacked. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway. Yes, money is a problem. And yes, how to use it is the problem. But also, well, let's face it, the cost of living is a problem. All that is a problem. Now, we're going to put a pause on me cooking pretty much everyone who cannot afford an iPhone with 2 SIM cards or Poloni. And our spending habits. I mean, you are looking at Helmut, who wants to live an Elon Musk lifestyle. Really? How's that gonna work? Short answer, is not gonna work. But, moving on. So, I have up next one of my interesting stories coming out of the United States 1960s. And this one is somewhat different from money. This one, it also does point to human stupidity, which is, I mean, it wouldn't be comedy if we weren't talking about one of the vices, the central vices of human beings. And that is our inability to actually, recognize a problem and the problems that's going to lead to in a long run. It's like let me just take you through the story. You see, in 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968, and this in the U.S. Oh, but Helmut, we're in Namibia in 2026. Why are we talking about this? You know how the electric light bulb invention did not come out of the candle manufacturing. That analogy is basically describes everything. In the 1960s, the U.S. was still dealing with, they are still dealing with racism today, but it was actually very tense back then compared to what they have today. So with the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., there was a primary school teacher, Jane Elliott. If you're one of those people that like to watch a bunch of documentaries and read up on pretty much everything about human stupidity around the division on race, tribe, culture, and all these things that we use to justify basically oppressing one another. Now, the very same day, not the very same day, it was the next day. Let's just put it the very same way. Jane Elliott was a school teacher when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot. And the way that the media was talking about that story It's pretty much the same way that they, that, you know, that they are talking about, you know, the, if you are following, you know, Iran, Gaza, Lebanon on, it's like, it's someone else's problem. That's how they talked about it. Now, she was white. No, she still is white. And now, she actually did not like what she was seeing in, you know, in the media with regards to how the oldest time, you know, upper class, division problem was being parroted basically. And it basically made central to the society as a whole in terms of, I mean, it was in schools, it was in churches, it was, you know, pretty much every social and professional setting. People were, there was this more like, whether practically or theoretically, there was this hint of, you are different, you are not the same. And she didn't like that point of view. So she decided to do an experiment, what is now called a brown eye, a brown eyes, blue eyes experiment. The next day she went to school. I believe she was teaching a fifth grade, you know, kids. And she divided those kids in two groups. Those ones with blue eyes and those ones with brown eyes. And she told the brown eyes that, you kids with brown eyes, you are less important than those ones with blue eyes. Actually, those ones, those kids with blue eyes, those ones are the epitome. They are the top level of humanity. They are the best of the best of mankind. You guys with blue eyes, you guys are, you guys with brown eyes, you guys are just, you guys are secondary. In other words, you are less important. You are less intelligent. Now, she took it a step further by giving certain privileges to leave the class, to come to the class, to, to maybe have extra portions of food during break at the cafeteria. And you know what happened? In less than 10 minutes, friends, kids with blue eyes that were, before that experiment was initiated, friends with kids with brown eyes, they were trading insults. And the sitting arrangement in the class. She took the most important ones, the more evolved ones, the blue eyes ones, and told them to sit in front of the class, and kept telling them how important they are than those ones that were than the brown eyed students that were sitting at the back. And even more further that she took it, she asked the brown eyed kids to mark themselves by wearing blue collars. Yes, put on a blue collar because you are less important than those ones with blue eyes. Friends hated each other. And she observed several things basically. The first one is blue-eyed students that have never said a word in the class were putting up their hand and giving all kinds of correct answers. Did they suddenly become smart? No. Their esteem, it turns out, was super inflated. They started having a positive view on themselves that they actually, they started realizing that they have so much potential in terms of intelligence. Unfortunately, that had to come at the expense of the subjugation of another group. And the brown-eyed students with blue collars, the whole day, and not only did their marks drop, and not only did they, their self-esteem also drop. Well, their performance followed right after all that. And you know what she did? The next day, she decided to switch. She was like, you know what? You know what? You know what? Actually, I made a mistake yesterday. And, this was third grade. Now, they're in grade three at this point. The next day she told him, you know what? On second thought, we made a mistake yesterday. We made a mistake. Actually, the kids with blue eyes are the less evolved and less important and less intelligent, basically. Less intelligent. Now, the kids with brown eyes are the ones that are more important. And the script flipped. The script flipped on friendship being destroyed. The script flipped on kids having lower self-esteem than they did the previous during the beginning of the experiment when they were told they were more important. And the brown-eyed started gaining all kinds of confidence all of a sudden. Now, that experiment has been used in corporate team building exercises since then, and psychologists have studied it since then. When you subjugate a group of people, when you disenfranchise them, they lose a lot of opportunities.
Ritava zende kize imba izwezipiri luekeleze mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwankufisa hamocholo ni mata amskavona kale kana mitukselize kuvona msevelezo wa imba ye mufumana lisevelezo zezwezipiri ze ka kulipa fela mashilling ali kana $36 kakweli kapa kama mikwaye kutesfa fasi ye tatama 5% machipisa hamngolisari kwelize talu 10% machipisa hamngolisari kwelize silela 25% machipisa hamngolisari kwelize lishumi peri muketeri kwelize zo muvata kuri mukone kala ku ikola zendezo imba imiswalezi fana chipisa imba tokubukanira fasi kaufela mwipe kwali sevelezo za imba kachenu kuri mukone ku ikola zende kaufela.
Welcome back. So let's continue. It turns out when you disenfranchise a group of people, when you design an education structure, religious structure, social structure, financial structure, political structure, that constantly tells them that they are less. Their subjugation is embedded in every system they are supposed to use to make their lives better. What's going to happen is, they are going to, you are going to end up with a result that basically reinforces your point of view. AI is getting straight into that. Now, you have to understand that AI is trained on existing data. Now, if the existing data is built on a social, political, and religious, whatever structure or power structure that has inequalities at its core, that inequality is going to find itself in algorithms. And as a result, we now have a lot of cases being filed, especially in the US, of people claiming, whether it's hiring or, being identified, for me, being mistaken in terms of mistaken identity by the police and ended ending up fighting a legal battle because of AI. Now, you can blame technology, but technology is not the problem. The technology was trained on information that was built on a system, that came out of a system that was, very, 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 very biased towards certain groups of people. If you are black, if you are Muslim, if you are, a woman, disabled, Irish, gay, straight, the problem is not the technology. It's the data the technology was trained on. And the marketing strategy with regards to the use of AI or adoption of AI is to cut out the human element, because if you remove the human being, then you can have this transparency, because technology does not know your parents, they don't know your skin color and all that. Here's the problem, that actually geniuses that designed this whole crap should have seen. That technology was built using which data? using the data that came out of a system that was, at its core, biased. What makes you think that the technology is not gonna be biased? It's just a technology you're training. It's like raising a kid, and you tell them that, punching other kids in the face is a good thing. That kid is gonna grow up thinking that's a good idea. Until they grow up, they meet someone who was trained that way, and they get punched in the face, and then they realize, oh my God, so it's that painful. Yeah, it is that painful. So, no fighting. So, it's not rocket science. And you can go to the Stanford Prison Experiment. The same thing was proven by the Stanford for the Prison Experiment. And I believe this also happened in the 1960s. So what happened was Stanford University. The one professor decided to go full, experimental on the university students, and divided them in two main categories. They decided to simulate a prison type of environment, where some students took the character of of prisoners, aka offenders that are incarcerated, and some students were given the character of prison guards, and they were given the power, or more like the advice. To make this experiment as authentic as possible. In other words, for offenders, act as an offender who is incarcerated. The real offender who is incarcerated would act and would behave. Now, the prison guard, act as the same way that a prison guard who is a real prison guard would behave. They had to stop that experiment halfway. Because prison guards went full Mussolini, Kim Jong-un, just leave Kim Jong-un out of this, went full Mussolini, Hitler, Mao, and Stalin combined. What that basically points, whether you want to look at it from the, from the Jane Elliott blue and brown eyes experiment, or the Stanford prison experiment. The same picture is being drawn here. Power is just toxic. Power is toxic. If you take a group of people, and it doesn't matter what type of color and religion, sexual orientation of these people is, if you just take any group of people and give them certain advantages, in terms of social and political, whether it's financial, all types of advantages, and you tell them that they are more important than others, and then you tell the others that they are less important than the people with all the advantages. First of all, of course, not all the people that you're going to be telling that they are important are going to believe your crap, which is why in the 1960s, obviously during, apartheid or segregation basically coming to an end in theory, but the practice was the US was very, especially in the southern parts, very segregated community. Now, which is still existent today, unfortunately. Now, Jane Elliott is white. Now, despite being told, as you can imagine, growing up in the environment where she was told that when you are white, you are more important than people that are not white, she didn't fall for that crap. So, but there are those that fell for it. And more often, they are the majority. Now, what you end up with is a system where things like what's going on in Western mainstream media in way of talking about what's going on in Gaza or what's going on in Lebanon. Israelis get killed Palestinians die. Well, did they just die? They just died. Israelis get killed. Now, when you look at that, you can easily conclude that, oh, you know what? My God, these Israelis are evil as heck. A lot of people have reduced it not to Israelis, Jews. As long as you are a Jew, you are evil. That's like living in the 1960s and saying, as long as you are white, you are evil. Jane Elliott would be like, I'm white. I'm not evil. Or I'm white. I don't support the status quo. The same thing can basically be said today about the modern state of Israel. Because you have entire Jewish communities that don't subscribe to what's going on in Israel right now. So just taking the whole brush and painting every single Jewish individual, they're the same people, you're gonna end up making pretty much the same mistake that we should have learned, at least for Namibia and South Africa, during apartheid. During apartheid, I read a story of one, there are three people. There's one lady that was assassinated by the, apartheid South African intelligence guys in Mozambique. There's one who was assassinated in Angola. There's one who was assassinated in Botswana. I'm not sure if it was the lady that was killed in Angola or Botswana, but one of them. And by the way, they're all white. Which is why I'm telling you, it's not a skin color thing. It's just a human stupidity thing. If you want to call it a human social vice flow, you want to be politically correct, Mind the Gap is not here for that. Mind the Gap is about, kicking, political correctness in the nuts and just, going along with it. What is crazy here is, it turns out human beings are very easy to fool. Very easy to fool. Very easy to fool. If you can just gather a bunch of people, tell them they are more important than the others, sooner or later, just tell them that one too many times, sooner or later, what you are telling them is going to get to their head. The next thing you're gonna know is they will start looking at others like they are less important. Turns out power gets to your head. It makes you drunk. So, sum it up. Meet the hero. Everyone who was alive at the time, wanted to read a few things here. Everyone that was alive at the time, remembers where they were when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on April 4th, 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee. Jane Elliott was a school teacher in a tiny rural Iowa town called Riceville. Riceville. Nice. Like so many Americans, spent the evening of the tragedy glued to her television. Her sadness quickly turned to anger when she heard racist comments on the news among colleagues at school. Fueled by her belief that collective responsibility exists at the end of prejudice and discrimination, Elliott determined to confront the racist attitude in her classroom. After brief teaching stints in two different Iowa school districts, Elliott and her family had moved to Riceville for 4 years before Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. She took a job teaching a third grade, assigned to the underachievers deemed unable to succeed. See that problem? Riceville at the time was a homogeneous, predominantly white, Protestant community, largely largely immune to the high tension throughout America during civil rights movements. Despite national laws against discrimination, racism still ran deep. After King's assassination, Eliot decided this was time to teach what the Indian prayer, I can't pronounce that, says. Oh, great spirit, keep me from ever judging a man until I walked a mile in his shoe. That's the prayer basically means. Give me the strength not to judge someone until I have actually walked a mile in their shoe. In other words, give me the wisdom not to judge someone until I sort of like get a picture of what they're going through, because most of us just go straight to judging which makes sense, because, thinking takes a lot of work, people. Thinking and sitting and reasoning and doing research and all that, that's a lot of work, you know. Criticizing and hating, that's very easy. You don't have to do any type of research. All you just have to do is wake up and decide to hate, and voila. It's stupid, but it's easy. That's why a lot of people just go straight to criticizing instead of first asking. Because asking requires you to use your ngondo. And hating does not require any ngondo use. All you can just do is wake up the next day and start hating. And, well, it's lazy, it's stupid, but a lot of people do it because it's easy. You know, I never thought of it like that. That explains why you can have a political or financial or social discussion, social debate with someone. As soon as you start seeing that they are not focused on the topic anymore, they are focused on your face, on your religion, on your family members, then you know that they have nothing else to say. In other words, whatever topic you two are debating about, they have no clue. So the moment the debate gets too rational, they start insulting. They start, coming up with a character assassination type of conversation. Yeah, you know what? I heard that you have 10 baby mamas. Really? What does that have to do with the financial institutions we are talking about? Yeah, I have 10 baby mamas. It was a nice run. I mean, well, they're all adults. We all know we all knew what we were doing. What does that have to do with this? When people have nothing to say, they resort to character assassination. That's how you know you are arguing with someone who is lazy to think. Therefore, just whatever they are saying, just agree with them and get the heck out of there. Or you can just tell them that, you know what, there is this thing called thinking, not that you'd be familiar with it. It's very important in instances like this. That actually explains a lot. When you are arguing with someone and they start throwing insults instead of forming constructive, rational counter-arguments, you are arguing with a pigeon. And why a pigeon? Well, there's a saying that goes that arguing with a stupid person is like playing chess with a pigeon. It will just, kick down all the pieces all over the chessboard, and then creep on the board and fly to its flock and then claim victory. Pretty much the same thing with arguing with an idiot. They will start bringing up arguments that have nothing to do with the discussion. And when you keep quiet, they will go to their fellow idiots and tell them that, you know what, I won that debate. No, you didn't. You started kissing because you had nothing constructive to say. Now, when you bring that into Africa, it becomes worse. Because, well, for one, the debate is in English. And now I have to argue in English. So I'll just take the easy way out. Just insult you and then, just get the heck out of there. Yikes, human beings are idiots. Really dumb. Oh, just one last part. For her lesson, brown eyes, blue eyes, Elliot used to call us to separate her class by eye color, much like Nazi Germany used to use the Star of David to identify Jewish people during the Holocaust. On the first day of the lesson, children with brown eyes were considered better, smarter, and cleaner, and given special privileges. The next day, blue-eyed children became the better, smarter, and cleaner class afforded, cleaner class, and they were also afforded privileges. So I basically headed the other way around in the beginning. Now, afterwards, the children discussed their experience of discrimination. And interestingly, Elliot noted that the blue-eyed children, once they had become the superior group of group on the second day, threatened the brown-eyed children more kindly because they remembered how it felt to be treated poorly. Elliot then assigned her students to write an essay, How Discrimination Feels, which were published in local newspapers in Riceville, the Riceville Recorder. Oh, now, when that hit the media, she had to move out of that town because parents did not like it. But when parents were threatening her and her children, parents of those children that she did an experiment with in the class, were threatening her and her children, she had to leave, she had to go and work somewhere. Those children came back after they grew and sat and basically met to talk about that experiment. And some of them said they had, that experiment was the most important lesson they had learned, not just in that school, but their entire life. So, and this is a textbook, this is as old as time during apartheid South Africa. What do you think white kids were taught in the class? That they were equal to black people? No! They would, from childhood, the indoctrination goes deep. From childhood, you are told you are more important than that person. And by the way, you can't go and ask them about everything that we are teaching you because, well, they are going to hurt you, even though we are the ones that are hurting them. But we are hurting them to prevent them from hurting you. So you can see the ridiculousness of the whole thing. But, every time that a society cooks up a superior ideology to elevate one group over the other, that group gets a big head. It's kind of fascinating. I think I should do psychology after this. Nah, I like listening to adults lie more, which that's basically what law is. My client would have never done this. He knows. His client is guilty as heck. And you know what's my favorite thing? You can't just walk in there and start saying, Your Honor, my client is guilty as they come. The judge will tell you to represent your client as the law demands because it's human right now. What am I supposed to do? Of course, I'm going to represent my client. And, if I'm well paid, boy, I'm going to cook up all kinds of stories. Oh. That is music break, and then we wrap up the discussion session and come back on the other side and do music time.
My country, I find myself a stranger in the country of my birth.
Because I don't have connections. Let's go.
Now, I find myself a stranger in a strange country. My country, we are struggling for you. Struggling for you. Fighting for you.
sacrificing for you our lives, our strength, and everything that we have got. Twakarira ove mama hiwo longanda amatu konjere ove amatu tire ove shirongo kare no minyo yetu vando vando twakarira ove mama hiwo longanda amatu konjere ove amatu tire ove oh shitoveni 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 retoveni shitoveni shitoveni retoveni shitoveni oh shitoveni retoveni shitoveni Namibia retu, no minyo vietu, twakalira ove, mama hiwo longanda, amatu rihongere ove, amatu tire ove, oh, twakalira ove, mama hiwo longanda, amatu kongere ove, amatu tire ove oh shitoveni retoveni shitoveni shitoveni retoveni shitoveni oh shitoveni retoveni shitoveni shitoveni retoveni shitoveni oh mbindu yetu mayurukove oh mbindu yetu mayuruko ve shitoveni retoveni shitoveni ye shitoveni retoveni shitoveni ye ayo ma namibia ayo ma namibia oh shitoveni retoveni shitoveni ye Shitoveni, retoveni, shitoveni, yeah. Oshirongo shitoveni ho, ehore toveni ndi. Shua vanga mautire kukahanja. Makudho kewera kalu kwandi pothari no mutu mokoto. Ketundura hiya keyao, kekundera shambi. Komitomire kumaswiro kwa kandu wetu mba uro banda uidhu witenda. Oh, shitoveni. Shua iko shimbingwe. Makudho konjo muka endu waka thari koro nongo jatu wano witenda kayo miti. Koru kongo mbothaona, omundo nongo, nonjo nongo ngwe itungan. Alireshua iko maruru. Kondo ndieto neno mbaba ulipe hulia uru umamutenja hii na bangumbe Kaikondo yu wamutumba nuwa shibereko Obakandu bo mama, herero ndi heri ndino Imbo inayo mama, movitambi Omubashiro averiro unyosa nyosa 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 po makara O unyosa nyosa na o unyama nyama 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 No umba nyumba 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 mehiro mundo mune Shitoveni ye, oh shitoveni, shitoveni, shitoveni ye Woshi wa rongo, woshi wa nomiti Makudho kongumbe akambiro ngonjo njaendere putate Omuhona wakaoko Shitoveni, shitoveni, shitoveni ye Alire shitwa iko shakatisha na ngombe Makudho kolushanja wetu ndo unene ndukosa uri ongo unetwa ngoma Wari ongombe ya mairia katondwa yalino muho murovado Tate kaluvire Omashiru arambero mbengu Ombengo rurema Arambaramburura Akondizo ndondi ya kunene Abadho wanda behe apendu kasha Bande endo banduvae Omurumenda shavi Oweto va Angola
Omukanda shabi Oweto bangolana Okana shake shabi Oweto bangolana na 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 na
Welcome back. 13 minutes past the hour of 12. We're here until the hour of 1 and only have like 16 minutes. Actually, just 6 minutes to go DJ. Now, let's... that was the Jane Elliott discussion. Oh, Macky Sall, the former president of Senegal, is the only candidate, at least that I know of. I think he's the only candidate that is not from South America that is running for the UN General Secretary, Secretary General position after the current Secretary General Antonio Guterres' term comes to an end. And I'm there going like, right. And you know how we listen to our politicians and you can easily tell, bro is just making stuff up on this one. It turns out, it doesn't change. Because I'm listening to these guys basically campaign for this position and making all kinds of promises. And the main one that that caught my attention was the goal is to bring back the legitimacy of this of this organization in terms of international maintenance of order. How? Really? Because I'm not a political expert, financial, or actually any kind of expert, except comedy. Now, here's the... let's just talk about the five guys at the top level of this organization, UN Security Council. You have the French that, you have the French, you have the Chinese, you have the Russians, you have the British and the Americans. These are the guys that are at the top of the United Nations. These are the Security Council. According to the UN Charter, their role is to maintain peace and security on the continent. Really now? Let's just look at pretty much every proxy war and you see the top Security Council member behind that proxy war, either involved either directly or indirectly. I can't think about any example about, on China, but the French, oh no. The French have actually been alleged to cause all the chaos that's happening in West Africa. Like I said, alleged. And the US is child boy, that list is very long. We're not even going to talk about that. The Russians are busy in Ukraine. And you have the British. The British, basically the NATO guys, you're talking about the British, the Americans, and the French. Now you can talk about all kinds of chaos. You know, I never actually thought why Djibouti has so many foreign military bases. It turns out it's another Strait of Hormuz situation. Except Djibouti has this strategic location that is its close proximity. It's basically at the Bab al-Mandeb Strait, which is also a very important maritime piece of water. That is one of, if not the main reason, why Djibouti has so many military bases. It's not about Djibouti. It's about shipping lanes, protecting shipping lanes. Now, are the militaries doing the shipping? No, they are not. Private companies are doing the shipping. At this point, you are wondering, if private companies are doing the shipping, why are nations' militaries protecting this country? Oh, you have to ask yourself, where are these countries from? They are from, you know, all kinds of different countries, from east, west, north, south. Now, okay, why are there armies here? I thought these were private companies. Who made the decision for that army to be there? The politicians. Who funded the politician in office? The private companies. Well, now, you get the picture now, don't you? You get the picture. Private companies do the shipping. They take some of the money from their shipping and then fund politicians to be in office. And those politicians send militaries to go and protect shipping lanes. And you know what's my favorite part? You know what they are told? You are going out there to die for your country. You gotta be kidding me. I think there was a time when soldiers died for their countries. There was a time when soldiers died for their countries in the West. I don't think that time is now. Like these days, I would argue Iranian soldiers and Lebanese soldiers are dying for their country. Western soldiers are dying for profit. And don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. In the 1930s, a major general, Smedley Butler, literally wrote a book on war being a racket. In other words, money-making machine. This was in the 1930s. And this is a book that is about less than 40 pages long. You can read it in an hour, two? Actually, that's really long. I don't know what I'm going to be reading. Because it's basically a military history from Major General Butler's point of view on how private interest goes through politicians to send soldiers halfway across the world to, you know, die for their country. Patriotism, just go there and die and we'll give you this medal. Look, if I'm going to die for profit, you're going to have to give me a lot of money. But a medal, seriously. Look, I'm not saying I'm not willing to go out there and die. I'm saying I am willing if you are paying me. But, you got shot in the leg. Here's a medal. Get out of here. I need money. What medal? Moving on. Let's wrap it up with one of my favorite industries. Can popular video games improve intelligence and IQ? I don't know about IQ and I don't know about intelligence, but I know one thing. Interactive video games can improve your reflex. Because if you play, you know, any type of, not just combat games, but also racing games like Need for Speed, a lot of my you know, millennials favorite racing game, that's the Need for Speed Most Wanted, the 2005 version. Do you have any idea how your reaction time have to be top notch when you are evading police, evading spikes, or bring down all this, like rigged structures on top of the police? That is not done in real life. You don't do that in real life. You go to jail. You do it in a video games, and I've been playing that video game since high school. I have never been to jail. So it's a video game. But, with time, you are going to realize that your reflex in terms of responding to, to stimuli, it's been scientifically proven. Interactive video gaming kicks your reflex through the roof. It turns out some games, not all of them, mostly strategy games like Civilization and Hearts of Iron. These are the ones that I have played. Hearts of Iron 4, Civilization 5. Hearts of Iron 4. Hearts of Iron is something that I discovered through someone that just brought that game to my attention. Have you played this game? Hearts of Iron? I've never actually looked. Oh, it's a strategy game. Awesome. there's a lot of mental, now that is said that, now it's said that that's important. It's that and, that and learning a new skill or learning a new language. It's like a gym, but for your brain. The very same way that, if you want to have, strong biceps, you go to lift weight, or if you want to, to have, a strong heart and more like in, in terms of, endurance of breathing and all that, you go for marathon type of exercise. Your brain also needs exercise. And you can learn a new skill. That's exercise for your brain. You can learn a new language. Exercise for your brain. Just play video games and learn a new skill and play and learn a new language. If you depending on how much time you have, it's good for your brain. Now games like games like chess and your Civilization, Hearts of Iron. There's not much reflex, but the mental gymnastics is there. But for games like for interactive games like your Halo, for example, and your Call of Duty, your PUBG, and all those, Delta Force, you need a lot of reflex for you to interact with with characters of other players. So that obviously improves your character, and that along with racing games. Especially rally games. Of course, when it comes to rally, the first thing you need is have, understand what your co-driver is saying. That just gives you a whole new horizon, new horizon into, different lines of work. So, what are you doing to take your mind to the gym? And it turns out they they had to also do a whole experiment on that. Psychology Today: does your child spend hours playing Minecraft, Roblox, or Fortnite? Ooh, okay, huh? Fortnite, okay. Breathe. Fortnite. Is it a complete waste of time? Probably not. According to recent study published in Scientific Reports, the author of this important new research concluded that children who play more video games at the age of 10 showed the greatest gains in intelligence and other cognitive ability at the age of 12. Now, this study measured intelligence by assessing reading comprehension, vocabulary, and executive functioning, and attention, visual spatial processing, and the capacity to learn over repeated trials. Essentially, kids who play more video games improved their intelligence and IQ scores. That's Psychology Today. Don't take my word for it. Interestingly, watching videos and involvement with social media did not have any positive impact on intelligence in this study. So, doom scrolling is bad for you. Sniping in a Nigerian lobby is excellent for you. Now, the platform, at least that I can easily use as an example here, is Call of Duty Mobile, which is a video game, and there are different modes to play. My favorite being sniper, because I just don't have, the patience of pointing a gun at someone and shoot multiple bullets. Really don't have time for that. Now, if you just find someone that play that game and that have been playing it for over a year, and you look at first of all the sensitivity of their device and how their character is moving, and you realize that if you give that game to someone who have never played it, they will not, they will not keep up with the reflex that the sensitivity requires. So the longer you play any type of interactive games like your PUBG, Call of Duty, Delta Force, and Fortnite, Counter-Strike. Ooh, haven't played that in a while. Counter-Strike, your reflex, your reaction time is gonna go up. which is why when you are in a public road, you are a driver that just got your license. You are not Vin Diesel. You are not Lewis Hamilton. Take, for example, because of the type of car that he always drives as part of his sport, a part of his career, Lewis Hamilton's reaction speed cannot be compared to any regular driver. Because the highest speed you have gone to, because you are not racing, you are in a public road. So you have, you know, you are sharing a road with other people that are just as terrible at driving as you are. So, if there's something in the road, your reaction speed is not going to be equal to that of Lewis Hamilton. Why? It's because he's cornering and braking. For the most part, he's making corners at 200 kilometers an hour. First of all, you can't do that in an SUV, which is why the Formula One cars are very low to the ground, and every piece of that thing costs millions because of research and development methods that have to do with aerodynamic to the core. So, reaction time, very important. Turns out, your mind sharpens everything that you constantly expose it to. But doom scrolling, turns out, is terrible for you, according to Psychology Today. Quick break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
And we have one last one. Celebrity worship national, this is the American National Library of Medicine. National Center for Biotechnology Information, and they wrote a whole article on something that also ties to intelligence: celebrity worship and cognitive skills revisited, applying Cattell's two-factor theory of intelligence in cross-section study. Well, what they basically looked at here is it turns out there's a relationship between your celebrity worship and your lack of intelligence. When you look up to a celebrity with regards to what they do and they inspire you, that's a good thing. But when you keep up with their life to the point of knowing how many times they breathed in 1 minute that have passed ever since you started thinking about them, how many underwears they have, how many girlfriends they have had, how many kids they have, what cars they drive, where they go for holidays, and actually that's just stalking at this point. It turns out that is, the advice is take that attention and give it to yourself, because you are equally important, you moron. And I know that's conflicting, but just decided to throw it in there for mind the game's sake. Now, celebrity obsession shows lack of intelligence, which is actually not that complicated if you think of it. I don't think they need an experiment for that, because there are a lot of couples that have broken up because someone decided to pay heck a lot of money to take their girlfriend or boyfriend, depending on which one of you is nuts about celebrity, to a concert, and they end up, being invited on stage, and they are doing all kinds of dumb things with that celebrity on stage. Okay, so from now moving forward, celebrity obsession, red flags. The conclusion from the National Library of Medicine with regards to the correlation between celebrity worship and cognitive and intelligence is that the findings suggest that there is a direct association between celebrity worship and poor performance on the cognitive test that cannot be accounted for by demographic and socioeconomic factors. So in other words, after this research, they found out that there is a direct correlation between stupidity and celebrity worship. Ouch. Okay. The method was a cross-sectional study design that was used. I don't know what the heck that means. Applying an online survey, a total of 1,763 Hungarian adults, 66% 66% male, and 66% male. They completed two intelligent subsets designed to measure ability in vocabulary. Okay, I already went through the conclusion that there is a correlation between, you know, lack of thinking capacity and, you know, or small thinking capacity and celebrity worship. That explains why. Let's leave it at that explains why. So, now it's gem time.
Yeah.
It's electric heat.
Worldwide connection from the island breeze to the city light.
Turn it up.
Let the night breathe.
Electric.
Mm-hmm. City breathing, shadows on the wall. Red lights flash when I hear your call. Every step like deja vu, like the world been waiting for me to move with you.
Bassline talking, speaker shake, heartbeat matching every break. Crowd so close, but I see you clear. One look and the noise disappears.
Hands on your waist, time slow down. Whole room fades when you come around.
Hands on your waist, time slow down. Right, sorry.
No rules here, just the sound. Gravity lost when we touch the ground.
We got electric heat running through the night. Woo! Every little move got me feeling alive. Turn the dark to gold. Let the bassline speak when you pull me close. Yes, electric heat. Body to body, nothing to say. Lost in the moment, drift away. Burning slow, but the feeling deep when you pull me close. It's electric heat. Champagne echoes, laughter in the air. Your eyes locked and I'm frozen there. Temperature rising every time you're near. Crowds are moving, but it's only us here. I don't rush, I don't pretend. Let the night stretch, don't let it end. World on pause when you touch my skin. Every spark pulls me deeper in. No control, I don't resist. I read your truth in every tweet.
We got electric heat. Energy, don't tell lies.
Electric.
It's electric heat. It's electric heat when it's winter. Winter is coming to an end. Time to start Googling how to deny a pregnancy. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, you do the crime, you do the time. How does that saying go again? Anyway, just don't start denying things. You know, don't run around start saying, it ain't me. Oh.
I had a dream, we were sipping whiskey neat, highest floor of the Bowery, and I was high enough. Somewhere along the lines, we stopped seeing eye to eye, you were staying out all night, and I had enough. No, I don't wanna know where you've been or where you're going, but I know.
It ain't me. Turn the it ain't me to it. Well, it was me. So what can we do? Oh boy. Boy, oh boy. And welcome back. It's 18 minutes to 1. You're still in DJ time. That is with yours truly, Helmed, here on Eagle FM. And this is Mind the Gap. So let's go a little bit high, you know, old school. And then we come back from there. By old school, I mean mostly old school, Zambezi, old school.
Hey, can I talk to you? nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Just don't forget to anteken vandag. Net more vandag. Was a splash with Lufuno. Don't ask me what that means. Don't. Please, just don't. So, let's go Zambia. Off. You have got to learn either Swahili, Lingala, or Bemba. One of these three. Swahili, Lingala, Bemba. Just learn one of these three. Or two. Or all of them. Because they are Bantu languages, they are very easy to learn. If you are a Bantu, if you are European, can't say the same. This is something that I found I find fascinating about languages, because every time that people people in my language learning community like to say this language is difficult, take for example South Korean is difficult, or Hungarian is difficult. No, Hungarian, holy cow! Boy, oh boy, they have 40 plus alphabets. Russian is difficult, or Polish is difficult, or what's the one of the mostly pointed out that it's also difficult language in Europe? Finnish. It turns out, if you are, if you are European and you speak a language that is Indo-European or any of the Scandinavian languages, or any of the Slavic languages, any of the Slavic languages, or basically Indo-European languages. Is that, that's much of a bigger category. It's, you know, it's like, you know, that's the, like the equivalent of learning, you know, of you being, you know, a Bantu language speaker learning another Bantu language. There are a lot of similarities. But if you are a Bantu language speaker learning a language that is an Indo-European, or if you are an Indo-European language speaker learning a Bantu language, yeah, may the Lord have mercy on your soul. Because, take an American, for example, or, you know, or an English speaker. The English speaker, their biggest struggle in learning languages is that most languages, apart from English, is that they pronounce the R. The R are not pronounced like pronunciation. No, it's pronunciation. Portuguese is one of those languages. Spanish, and you have Timbuktu, pretty much any Bantu language, the R's are really comes out. Unlike the English language where they are pronounced like, like the R will bite. So, learn Lingala, learn Swahili, learn, in Zambia, I would go with either Nyanja or Bemba. Bemba or Bemba? Beautiful language. And speaking of which,
Iwe, wana munga nyambole masomi nukumai. Okyo zaka ona. Kale zaka le kame. Nayo, nayo, nayo. Nayo, nayo.
The Eye of an Eagle.
Pasala puya mangwana maka chape huni konde wewe.
Usaka ona, usani konde lelelela.
Kisapu pasala puya kiwanda maka chape huni konde leo.
Usaka ona, usani konde lelelela.
I'm feeling in invader ni ya chende. Sini kunyengele na panipeka uchende. I swear, iza kuona na kumanda, get it's true, iza pita na kumanga. Bali wewe ni nga kwele manda manda,
tabai wa uwe kamunga lika Obama.
Suwa wana ni usaba yoka,
achuja kero awe imama.
Dundundu palu kutampa, kachape unikonde iwe, usaka ona, usani konde lelelela. Iza kupa salafu ya mangwana mpaka.
Not recommended to, you know, if you are from Kavango and from Zambezi, it's not recommended that you play this song to your non-Kavango and non-Zambezi partner, because they'll be like, so these are your plans. But yes, but look, every relationship, the goal is for you to kondelelelela me. You will kondelelelela me. In other words, you're gonna love me come hell or high waters. Huzani kondelele. That's the beautiful part of, you know, of being a Bantu language speaker, listening to music that are in Bantu languages. Huzani kondelele.
Yeah.
makangiwa kukona na usiku ndaba iwe umaonekela na mbense Siwa pani puta pa ushimbe pari iwe bebe nikakone papotenga Singa kwa nise kukumbu ila chabe kamubile kako iwe Usaka una, usani kondelelelela Singa kwa nise kukumbu ila chabe tumaipo tuako iwe Usaka una, mama, cha, kipu wanifanta kumoto iwe
Now this is just Afunika being naughty. If you are new to Zambian songs, let me just introduce you to something. You know that's that I at least personally like about Zambian music. It's this is something that's very common with African music in general, because I think of the accents. Even if the song is in English. You're gonna have to listen to it like multiple times for you to know that this song was in English. I know. Because what do you mean to mahipo tuako? Well, at least you got the hips part. But you have to listen like multiple times to, oh, he was talking about, to mahipo tuako you were. Anyway, just, for the sake of Karen.
Mina ku festi mushanga nizali mbiki na mumba nyali sote shancha Isa kuno chansa Isa kuno mumanga Isa pe mina ku festi mushanga nizali mbiki na mumba nyali sote shancha Isa kuno chansa Isa kuno mumanga Dundu no palu kutampa kachabe unikonde iwe Usaka una Usani konde lelelela Isa kupasa lafu ya mangwana mpaka chabe unikonde wewe
All right. It's 3 minutes left to the hour of one. That brings us to the end of home run. No, not home run. It's a mind the gap. So let's wrap this. Let's wrap it up. Here's the thing. I know our wonderful counselor gave us the brilliant idea, or more like it was just a recommendation that how about if we just talk to our employers to split our salaries in half so we get paid twice a month, that way we don't go broke in the middle of the month. But my biggest fear is even if you did that, there are people that will be broke in the middle of the week. So back to Ntombi's song, money is not a problem. A problem is how to use it. So, yes, the cost of living is making everything expensive. But this is a two-part problem. Part number one is the cost of living making everything expensive. Part number two is our spending habit. We want to spend money like Elon Musk when we know we are not Elon Musk. That's the problem. So, splitting the salary in half is only going to solve half the problem. And that is the problem of, at least splitting your expenses and all that, just maybe. But I think even if we were that creative in solving that part, we're going to be left with one part, and that's our spending habit. That one can only be solved from an individual perspective. There's no law that can be made by the government or your employer to solve that part. Oh, money have changed. Money change every one of us every month, and I lose appetite for the food in my kitchen until the middle of the month. That's when that appetite comes back. I don't know why that happens. Maybe I need, see a psychologist, or a ground-shaking prayer. I swear. Until next week, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Y'all have a good one.
Eagle.
Efiloshisho utali kulandula kona ave wayuka. Ekwashili palekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHB. Watupa teleko meshwe kwashili palekolo afika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo da Namibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lo paulumo mumbu. Kwa voveli ponjeo shilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layashi. Opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule ominute dishona elela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya morwendo. Ponjeo shilongo. Emangono malandula pano odo dino kulandurwa. NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP we're about you.
Oh, my God.